right, it's good to see everyone here this morning, and we continue in the book of Revelation. If you would turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, I believe. I'll know when I get there. Bear with me till I do. I want to read quite extensively this morning, and that's why I'm starting just a tad early. I've got a lot to read, and then, but I think what I'll cover will certainly help us in understanding where we're at in Revelation. Chapter 2. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going on in chapter 2 for a little bit, and then I'll read some. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and the king of the Babylonian Empire, which was the dominant empire at that time, he has a dream. And like some of us may have experienced, when you wake up, the dream bothers you, but you just can't remember what you dreamed. And sometimes it's perplexing, and sometimes you wish you could forget what you dreamed, and but here he had a dream, and he could not remember the dream, but it was bothering him. And he wanted to know what the dream was all about that he couldn't remember. So he did what a lot of people do. He called on the magicians, the astrologers. You can read in the paper every week, you know, if you're a Libra or whatever those are. I don't read them, but, you know, they tell you about your life and what to expect and, you know. But that's what he did. And they said, now, King, wait a minute. They said, if you'll tell us what you dreamed, then we'll tell you what it means. He said, what about forgot? Don't you understand my words? He said, if you are who you say you are, you can not only tell me what the dream means, you can tell me what the dream was. And if you can't, because this thing is bothering me and I want to know. And they said, now, King, we got to talk here. There's no man on earth that can tell you what you dreamed and then tell you what the dream meant. And by the way, King, there's no king on earth that would ask us to do that. And he said, well, I tell you what, I can see you're stalling. You know, he said, I can see you're stalling here for time because you know I can't remember and you keep hoping that I will remember, but I can't. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't tell me, I'm going to kill you. And so he says, and the decree went out. Now, although Daniel was not an astrologer, Daniel was not a magician, but Daniel was in that group. And when he found out that the death sentence had been put on him, he did what any child of God would do. Come to the prayer room. By the way, I would encourage you on Sunday morning, Cord Teal, come to the prayer room. You know, you can unload over in the prayer room. And as one person said this morning, this stays in here, and I can assure you, anything you say over there stays in there. Because then God knows no one else needs to. But I would encourage you to come. Because when you see your prayers answered, it's encouraging to everyone. So Daniel called for a prayer meeting. He said, "Now, Lord, we got trouble here. They're going to kill us. If you don't show me the dream and the interpretation." And so you know what happened? They prayed. God heard. And God did what he was going to do the whole time. You know, he wouldn't let Nebuchadnezzar remember because he knew them magicians couldn't help him. He's trying to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention. So Daniel goes back and to the gentleman, I can't remember his name, I will tell you, I know it in a sec because it's right here on the left page. And he says I can't remember his name. Anyway, Arioch. He goes to Arioch. He says, "Listen, you go in and tell the king, if you give us just a little time here, I'll tell him the dream and I'll tell him the interpretation." He has the prayer. Then he goes back to Arioch and he says, "Take me into the king. I've got it." So he goes in and he tells the king about his dream. The king had dreamed about this great image, a head of gold, a chest of silver, the stomach of brass, and the feet of clay. And so we'll pick it up there. And here's what he says in verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers and magicians and soothsayers show unto the king?" Can't your preachers tell you what's going on? Can't your prophets tell you the future? I mean, that's who they relied on. That's false teaching. That's false. Not what I'm teaching. Yeah, okay. What the astrologers put out was false. They had no power. You have no power. I have no power except God give it to us. That's what Jesus told Pilate, wasn't it? "Well, you don't have any power except my Father give it to you." So he says, "The secret when the king demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, magicians, soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the..." He wasn't showing Nebuchadnezzar anything. You do see that, don't you? Who was the one that was so interested in the latter days? Daniel. He was concerned about his people. They were in captivity. So God chose Nebuchadnezzar the dream, but Daniel got the interpretation. And he says, "The dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secret maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed for me to any wisdom that I have." I don't want you to think I'm doing this. I want you to understand where it comes from. Folks, listen to me, and please listen carefully. I can't stand before you and tell you anything. The preacher can't stand up here and preach and tell you anything unless God gives it to him. It'll be of no benefit. I don't want sermonettes. I want to hear from God. If there was ever a time in the world that we need to hear from God, it's now. And I don't want us to come in here on Sunday mornings and just say, "Well, I feel good about myself. I went to church today." You might as well go to astrologers and magicians because you'll get nothing. We should come into this house as children of the living God, needing and wanting to hear from God. Well, that's what's happening here. Let's see if that's not what's happening. But as for me, the secret is not revealed for me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall come, make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. And then he goes on to say, this image's head was fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of clay and part of clay. Part of iron and part of clay. Now, if you'll notice when he comes to this image, each part of the image becomes less, more inferior. Gold is the most important. Silver is important, but not as much as gold. Brass, and you get the idea. And what he's saying is this, that as time goes on, the kings and the kingdoms of this world are going to become more inferior. Now, when he comes over here, if you notice when he gets, he doesn't deal with the first three much. Because the first three are simply Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian. And then the silver was whom?
Persian.
The Persian. And then who was the next one?
Alexander
the Great. And then who was the next one? The Roman. Which one did he spend the most time on? Oh, put up a hand real quick and say, Tom, I know, you know, I got it, I know it. Huh? Well, certainly. If you read this, and I don't have time, but if you read this, each time there is a vision, each time the future is shown, there's more time spent on the Roman Empire, which hadn't even come yet, than any. Why? He says, the latter days. Now, did you know that the Roman Empire was never conquered? It finally divided into an Eastern and Western Empire. And because of the way it was made up, it became weaker and weaker. And now listen, I'm going to give you an example. And please, I beg you, I don't want you to see anything in this other than what I'm teaching you. I have no problem at all. In fact, I would encourage it. Immigration into this country. But if you're going to immigrate here, you got to become one of us. You got to speak the same language. You got to have the same culture. You can't bring your culture here and so that we have 500 different cultures and 5,000 different languages, because what's going to happen? We're going to become weaker. Well, that's what happened to the Roman Empire. It was not conquered. It simply died. File that now. I'm not just telling you this just to give you some history. Why would he spend that much time on the Roman Empire? I'll tell you why. Because the Roman Empire is going to be brought back. Not the little thing, you know, the little short skirts and the swords and the funny hats and all that. The geographic part is going to be brought back. He says it's the beast. He had a wound that died, but he was healed. I'll show it to you. Just stay with me. Now, look, if you will, over at chapter 7. Chapter 7. So now you've got the four, empires, right? You got that in your mind. Okay? All right. Don't lose them. All right. Now, in chapter 7, he talks again, only this vision is not to anyone other than Daniel. Remember, it's Daniel that's important here, folks. Because Daniel is caring about Israel, about the Jewish people, about the nation of Israel. And God is there to show him, you might be in captivity now, but I want you to look down the road and see the deliverance of your people. Folks, look, I realize that the day in which we live is a sad time. I don't care to say that. It's a sad time. We can try to go around acting like we're happy all we want to. It's a sad time if you care about your country and if you care about your children and if you care about anything. It's a sad time. But we can't dwell there. We got to look down the road. There's a day coming. There's a time coming. There's a kingdom on its way. That's going to be so much better. And if we will get our minds there, I realize that's hard. Listen, there's not a day goes by that I'm not angry anymore. I stay angry because I see things that are going on around that I can't do anything about, and it makes me angry because nobody that can seemingly do something about it wants to. But I got to keep my mind towards home. It's going to be better. It just ain't going to be better here. Never. So in chapter 7, Daniel's getting a vision. And here he says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, verse 2, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now we all know that the great sea is humanity, right? Because we got that, that's where the beasts come from. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. You notice there's beasts here, and they're called beasts in Revelation. God don't see them any different. Thousands of years later, God sees them the same as beasts. We might see them sometimes as great individuals, great leaders. But if you're outside God, it's a beast. It's that simple. And he says, the first was like a lion. The next had eagle's wings, and I beheld the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth and made stand upon the feet of man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself one and had three ribs. Now, those three ribs are Lydia, Egypt, and Babylonian. Check it out in history. You'll see it's absolutely true. The Medo-Persian Empire, that's who they got, those three kingdoms. And so he says, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leper, which had upon its back. And if you read anything about Alexander the Great, his method of war was speed. That's why he's called a leper. And he says, and after this, now notice this, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding. It had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Well, I believe we've seen that before. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like unto the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great things. And notice this now. He's talking about the Roman Empire, right? He's seeing it, right? Well, he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did see it, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. The throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, 10,000 times 10,000. Did we see that in chapter 4 of Revelation? I believe we did. Stood before him, the judgment was set, and the books were... Now, if you can read that and not say that he was talking about a Roman Empire that would be maybe 100 or 2 years in the advance, you know, in the future, and go thousands of years past that to the book of Revelation and see the throne in chapter 4 and the Lamb in chapter 5 getting the deed to the title of earth, I can't help you. It's right there in front of you. It's undeniable. You say, Tom, why is that important? Well, it's important for this reason. If it was true thousands of years in advance, do you think it ought to be something that we believe? If everything that he wrote there about all these other empires, and all you got to do is read history, folks, Google it. They do a wonderful job of history. Just Google every one of these empires. And if they don't match up exactly as that reads, I'll put the Bible down, I won't be back here on Sunday morning, and I'll never teach again. Now, would anyone want to place a bet on that? I'll guarantee, Lord, let me will, I'll be back here next morning with that Bible in my hand, giving it out. Because, folks, it's true. It was true to Daniel. It was true when Paul said in Thessalonians about the Antichrist coming and the day of the Lord. And it would behoove every individual to believe it now. Because it'll be too late when you believe it then. Just as sure as we believe that Christ came and died for our sins, the future is set, folks. Now I'm going to show it to you. Where was I at? Verse 11, I guess. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning fire. I will show that to you in the book of Revelation. So I know now. He's talking about the Roman Empire. But he's talking about it at the end. It's going to come back. And I'm going to give you another one, and I'll read it to you so that you know I ain't making this stuff up. I don't know who it is, but I can tell you that one of the great kings of one of the great kingdoms is going to be resurrected and will be the Antichrist. I'll read it to you. Just as sure as you're sitting there, because I don't know if they're going to use AI to do it, or I don't know if God's just going to resurrect somebody. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, that's how it's going to happen. I'll give you a good example of the first one I mentioned. And I think I've already mentioned it. How many of you have bought a ticket to the new Elvis Presley concert? Do you realize they've sold thousands of tickets to a concert of a dead person? Because AI says they can bring him back. Now, if you don't think people can be fooled, folks, know that they've already sold tickets to the next Beatles concert. Did you realize that just this past week, they made the first Cyclop? You know what a Cyclop is? That's part human and part machine. They put a chip in the brain of a human being. And all that person has to do is hold that phone out and think what it wants on that phone, and there it is. So if you don't think this stuff can come to pass, you got your head in the sand. Man is deceivable. And God says, because they would not accept the love of the truth, he's going to send them great deception that they would believe a lie and be damned. If I seem passionate about that, it's because it's true. We got to quit making, you know, I heard a preacher this week, and I you may not understand it. I understood it well, and I said, amen, bless God, while I was driving. He said, listen, we have graced everything to death. I'm a big proponent of God's grace. But we've put everything under grace, bless God. You can live any old way you want to. God's grace is sufficient. We better get out of that. We better realize that God's judgment, God's wrath, is just as pure and holy and righteous as that grace is. And one of these days, I don't know when it is, maybe in my lifetime, maybe not, but the man of sin is going to be revealed, that son of perdition. And this world is going to be deceived like never before. And they're going to follow after him to the point to where they even worship him. And then God's going to drop the hammer on them. You say, I don't believe that stuff. I don't care what you believe. It's not up to me to you believe it. It's up to me to tell you. I believe it. With all my mind, heart, and soul, because it's God's word. I'll read it to you. I'm not done. Verse 17. These great beasts which are four are four kings. That's pretty. Anybody get that? Which shall arise out of the... So we know when it said sea, we're talking about humanity because it's on the earth. You know, these aren't kingdoms that were out in the middle of the ocean. They're on the earth. And I can name them to you, just like you can, because history, you know, did you realize that a lot of commentaries and a lot of commentators say that Daniel had to be written after the fact because it's too accurate? No, God's just that accurate, folks. And he's so accurate, he says, if your name ain't found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's accurate. May not like it, but it's accurate. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, did I not tell you to look down the road? He jumps from four kings, four kingdoms on the earth to saying, oh, but don't worry, the saints are going to win out. You know, Pam used to sing a song. I think I sang it with her. We read the back of the book and we win. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. See, now he wants to know about, he doesn't even ask about those other three. Do you understand that? Then I want to know about that fourth beast. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and of the nails brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that which horn had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. Now, folks, if you don't see Christ coming there, I can't help you. He's just called the Ancient of Days, bless God, because he is in the beginning. And judgment was given to the saints. What saints? Of the Most High. Jesus said, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. I am higher than the heavens. He's the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. Now he's went back. Did you catch that? He says, now I want you to know it's going to be the fourth kingdom on the earth, the Roman Empire, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and then tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and shall be given into the hand until a time, times, wait. Now we've jumped again. Do you get the connection here, folks? He jumps from the fourth beast. Now he's jumped all the way to the last 7 years because He only gets power for 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it in the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion and all dominions and shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed me, but I kept the matter in my... What's he saying there? How's he finishing this off? Paraphrase that for me, that last verse. Somebody paraphrase that for me. It's okay if you're wrong. It doesn't matter. We're trying to learn. He was troubled. You know what? I got to come over here. You don't mind me coming right here, do you? I've missed you. I like people who try to help me. I've missed her. Now go ahead.
He was troubled, but he was going to keep it in his heart and ponder on it.
Like Mary.
Hmm?
Like Mary. Remember when the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to conceive and have a male son?
I love you. I've missed you.
Thank you.
I like people who try to help me. What he's saying is this. Oh, man, I didn't understand much of that. But I kept it in my heart. I don't understand a lot of this, Tracy. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to come in here and try to convince you that I know everything. I don't understand a lot of this. But you know what? I'm going to keep it right here. Because it's God's word. I don't have to understand every bit of it to know it's true. You know, at the very end, I'll show you what it's saying. At the very end of Daniel, turn over there if you will. At the very end of Daniel, turn I'll show you what it's saying. You'll understand. I'll just read all the verses in chapter 12. And at that time, the time of the end now, right? At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble which was never since there was a nation, even to the time same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one. It don't stop there. Not every one. Every one that shall be found written in the book. If your name's not in the book, you're going to hell. I know that's harsh. Sometimes the truth is harsh. But if you don't believe that, if a person doesn't believe that, now go over here, bless God, you're trying to pick it up. As a child of God yourself, if you don't really grasp that and believe that, you won't give it out. Do you realize that is as much a part of the gospel as Christ on the cross? Because he's on the cross because of that. We have to be convinced before we'll try to convince others. And so Daniel, he's saying, listen, this is how it's going to be. And he says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Well, what is that? Some to everlasting life. Hallelujah. I'm right there. And that'd be wonderful. I'd leave it there. Boy, that'd be good news, wouldn't it? But there's a second part of that good news, folks. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Bless God, when you take your last breath, when any person takes their last breath, they better take it knowing Christ. Well, one of these days they're going to be resurrected, not to life, but to death. And then he says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's what I was talking about. Listen, we got to throw it, folks. We got to throw it out there. That doesn't mean you have to go down here and stand on the corner and preach unless God tells you to. What that means is when you come in touch with someone, when you come in contact with someone, they need to see your life. Don't tell them who you are. Let them see who you are. Words are cheap. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? Yeah. Do you think for 1 second, I'll come back over here since you're trying to help me. Do you think for 1 second that Daniel would have known anything about AI?
No.
He knew about the wisdom of God.
Right.
But he didn't understand anything about AI. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. I think I've mentioned this before, but in this class I can do it numerous times. Do you realize, Rusty, he's the only one paying attention. Do you think for 1 second that in 1900 they would have understood that part about the witnesses where they laid in the street of Jerusalem and on the third, after 3.5 days they were raised and the whole world saw it? They would have said, "Well, you're crazy. Well, you're crazy. Well, you can't. How am I going to see something over in Jerusalem?" Well, honey, I didn't want to hurt people's feelings. But in the 50s, you could see TV, you know, and you saw that, you know. But now, you're trying to help me. You've got your phone there. It's instant. If something goes on, man, it flashes on there. You can see it instantly. That's what he's talking about. This knowledge is going to increase. And listen, if our knowledge is not increasing with this, we're not going to understand the other. No way. No way. No way. Now, look, if you will, real quick at chapter 17, and I'm just going to read it. And then I hopefully will finish up here and get to 18. Now, remember what we're doing in 17, 18. What's going on in 17, 18? Do what? Okay. And remember I gave you the 3 D's last week? Anybody remember the 3 D's? Dismantle, demolition, and destruction. 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 Thank you, John. Oh, God, I thought I was going to have to keep saying it to somebody. Who said it? So you have to say it up to where I can hear it. I can't give you credit now. I didn't hear you. John gets all the credit. We're talking about, you remember the ways in which there's that Satan will use to control people? The three, that's religion, the economy, and militarily. Well, in the next 3 chapters, God's going to dismantle it, demolition it, and destruct it. And that's what's going on in chapter 17. He talks about the whore, the harlot, that sits on the scarlet beast that had 7 heads and 10 horns. Well, we already know who that is because we've done been introduced to him, right? And then he comes on down there and he wants to give understanding. But notice what he does. It starts out talking about the woman. But when it comes time to give information and understanding, it's about the beast. because the woman's riding around on the beast. The beast is the culprit. So let's see what it says in verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the... So we know right now that the beast is the Antichrist and he is of the dragon. Because we've already learned that, right? So we know that Satan is behind all false religion, folks. And I'm talking about, and I tried last week as best the Lord would let me, to get you to understand, we're not talking about Satan worship. We're not talking about churches with a Satan on the outside. Bless God, I'm talking about churches with a cross on the outside. Satan has weaved his way in. We read the church age, and the last church in the church age was what? And they said, we have need of nothing. You got to be careful where you go to church. I'm not saying this is some special church. It is as long as this is what we give. Unadulterated in its purity, without wavering. Without watering this. You know how the church grew in the early age? You know, right after the Pentecost, you know what grew the church? You know, and don't get me wrong. I like programs. They're okay. They're fine. I ain't totally against them. But folks, if we're depending on programs to grow this church, we're in bad shape. If this being preached and taught and lived in this church don't grow it, bless God, let it stay the same. That's what I say. I don't want it grown unless the Word grows it. But it will. It will grow it. All we got to do, we can't wait to... Listen, we can't just have it in here. When we go out, it's got to show. You know, some of the first questions I get sometimes from people, where do you go to church? Well, that should be a question they ask you if they're seeing you live. They hear your testimony. You would hope they do anyway. Now, I got to get back. Time. All right, now, he says, the beast that thou sawest was, what's that mean? A-L-I-V-E, alive. Okay, so we know he's alive. And is not. What's that mean? That's right, bless God. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So whoever this Antichrist is, was alive some time back and died. And it's coming back, but right out of hell. Now, the only, last time I checked, there's only one person bring somebody out of hell. And go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they shall behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. If you don't know Christ, and if your name's not in the book, you're going to be deceived. It's right there. I don't care whether you believe it or not, it's right there. You will be deceived unless your name's in the book. Well, if your name's in the book, I'll show you something else in just a second. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman said, now I would ask you to go anywhere in the book of Isaiah and read, and you will get a quick definition of what mountains are. Kingdoms. So I'm going to read that way. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. You can come on in. Here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven kingdoms on which the woman sitteth. Now the seven kingdoms, now we don't see the four, right? We see seven. And here's the reason why. We're looking back. So now we're seeing the Egyptian, the Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Persian, the Greco, and the Roman. How many is that?
Six.
And here's what he says. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. Well, I just gave you the five. They're fallen. What five did I give you that? The Egyptian, the Assyrian, the Babylonian, the Greco, and the Persian. That's five. Those five are gone. What's left? Well, let's see if it's in here. And there's and the beast that thou art is not. No, wait. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one. All right, what's one is? The Roman Empire. At the time John was writing this, it was the Roman Empire, right? And one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. In other words, he's going to have power for a little while, and then his power be gone, because here's what it says, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. But what does it say after that? But is of the... Well, now listen, I'm not a smart guy. I grew up over here in Irwin, and I flunked the second grade till I got to Hampton, and they had to promote me because I was so smart. That's the truth. I flunked in Irwin. We moved to Hampton. They said, son, you're way too smart. We got to move you up to the third grade. I said, I tried to tell them that over in Irwin. I'm not very smart. But I know when it says this, that the eighth is one of the seven, unless God one of them seven kings it's already been, it's going to be that eighth one. That's what God says. You say, Tom, explain that to me. What did I tell you earlier? I don't understand all this. But that's as true as me standing here in front of you. That's as true as me standing here in front of you. That's what's going to be. That's how it's going to happen. Because it happened that way when Daniel said it, and it's happened that way here. And he says this. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into. In other words, he's going to come back. He's going to reign a short period. And then he's going to hell. Well, when we get to chapter 19, you're going to see something. But over here he says this. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power to come in. These have one mind, shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the... I don't understand that. I don't understand how you... Listen, I don't even believe they've hit 85, whatever that was they say they've done over there in the Middle East. I don't believe this government a bit more than I can spit. I mean, they can try to tell us, oh, we retaliated. I don't know. I wasn't there. And they've made it so I can't believe them. God's never given me one time to doubt him. And I don't doubt him right here when he says what he says. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. They're sort of stupid, but that's what happens when you fall in with Satan. You're sort of stupid. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he says, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Oh, I like this last part, though. And they that are with him are the called, the chosen. Listen, you've heard me teach, and I'm done. I'm going to wind down here. I'm done. I'm going to waste my time. The Bible says this. It is required. It's not optional. It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. Now, I'm not talking about faithfulness to church. I'm not talking about faithfulness to the study of God's Word. I'm not talking about faithfulness to works. Here's what it's saying. If you are called, if you are chosen, you're going to be full of what God says. And that's faith, my friend. You're relying totally, totally, totally on the Word of God and God's promises. standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. And if we do that, bless God, when He comes, we're coming with Him. Not because I told you so. Not because some commentator told you so. Not because some theologian told you so. Because God told you. And God cannot lie. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Well, it doesn't end there. That's wonderful. It goes on. And He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The 10 horns which thou sawest shall hate her, and eat her flesh, and burn her. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will, and to agree with, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now listen, I don't know, and I wouldn't tell you, and I don't know what anybody else can tell you. I don't know if that's a literal city or a spiritual city, but I can tell you this. Whether it's literal or spiritual, it reigns over the kings of this earth, and God's going to burn it to the ground and destroy any religion, any worship, any praise, any glory that goes to anyone other than Him. I will not share my glory with another. That's God's word too. See, I'm done.